You've got the money, honey, I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line. You've got the money, honey, I've got the time. There ain't no need to tarry, let's start out tonight. We'll have fun, oh boy, and we'll do it right. Bring along your Cadillac, leave my old wreck behind. If you've got the money, honey, I've got the time.
From the gateway to the west, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies toll-free, dial 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies toll-free at 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is open at area code 818-501-4109. International callers may reach George Norrie by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Yeah, a little bit of Willie Nelson for your listening pleasure. In a moment, Robert Chapman for your listening pleasure and your phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with our guest tonight, Robert Chapman, and here's a little schedule for the rest of this week. There's not that much time in the week. William Bramley, my guest tomorrow, his book, Gods of Eden. Now, he's going to present some evidence that extraterrestrial visitors have conspired to dominate mankind through violence and chaos and continue to do so. It's a fascinating theory that so many people have been questioning, and William Bramley has jumped right on top of that with his research book called Gods of Eden. Friday night into Saturday, it'll be our typical open lines, so get ready for that. Richard C. Hoagland got a hold of me today, sent me an email, and he's going to be going down to Florida. I cannot tell you why yet. It is a secret, but he wanted to know when we might be ready to break a story with him. So we may do that in a couple weeks, by the way. Let's go back to the phones now. West of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Oh, well, hi, and this is George. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm so happy. I've been listening for years to get through. This is Nancy in Phoenix.
Hi, Nancy. Well, you made it.
Yeah, I did. I just like winning the lottery, man. Okay.
maybe not quite.
Well, okay. Yeah. First of all, I just on a positive note, I have a couple of questions. I'll try to be quick here. I do believe in the creative ingenuity of the American people very much. I think we're smarter than they give us credit for sometimes. I know, you know, I mean, I don't know where this is coming from. I guess my intuition, but I think the people that are going to kind of survive all that's coming up are the people that are going to surprise you, not necessarily the ones who have, you know, the most money in the bank or the diversified accounts, et cetera, but I think people who work collectively together, and Edgar Cayce predicted that. He says people who can co-op and work collectively, you know, kind of together to do some things, possibly even a little bit of bartering is going to come into play. But anyway, I think we will find ways. I was wondering about property taxes. And, you know, I know that the guy that was on our bell, oh, who was it that I was talking to? I keep a record. I keep a Rolodex of all your guests. Anyway, he was also predicting they could recall the mortgages on homes. If things got bad enough, like if you do own money on your homes,
I think on the seconds, not on the firsts.
Oh, okay.
That's possible. I mean, as long as you're making your mortgage payments, there's not much they can do.
Okay. Yeah. He said they would become much more lenient with, much less lenient. I mean, you know, there would be no room for anything. They could recall that mortgage. But anyway,
see, the problem is, as Robert pointed out, is when interest rates go up, your payments go up.
Oh yeah.
Unless you have a fixed mortgage.
Exactly.
Well, now with property tax, what about land and if you own property taxes and would that also increase?
Good question,
well,
Robert. What would governments do?
George, they're in the process of increasing now in the International Forecaster. As these increases come, I tried to cite as many of them as I can, but that is how revenue, which has been lost, is being replaced. And, of course, we have inflation. Government says annualized is 4.4%, when in fact it's 9.5%, and it's going higher. And incidentally, Nancy, your comments are very insightful. I think there are a lot of people out there who are smarter than what the government thinks they are. And I think it's the people who are listening to programs like this who are getting the truth and will be able to act on it and help others.
How do you feel, Robert, and thanks for your call, Nancy, about doing away with the IRS and going to just a use tax?
Absolutely. I love the idea of a fixed tax of perhaps 18%, and of course the states will have their own too, so you'll probably pay 25% in taxes, but nobody escapes. And
no.
You don't have the IRS being used as a jackbooted group of individuals who are being used for political purposes, and all our politicians have done that. Irrespective of party, Richard Nixon, even the Carter administration, and which is surprising from both ends. And I really think it should be done away with and replaced with a national sales tax is what I prefer.
Well, you know what? I think so. To me, that's what a use tax is. And here's an example, Robert. There's so much illegal drug money flowing through the system now, buying goods, that if they were at least paying a sales tax, we'd make more money, I bet.
We'd
take in more money.
I think
money,
you have to stop for a minute and think about where that illegal drug money's coming from and where it goes. It goes through our major banks.
Yeah, well, that's true.
They are the money launderers.
And they're lending it to us, right?
And they know what's going on, believe me.
And we're getting the money back, aren't we?
We certainly are. Just as an aside, you've seen Elliot Spitzer making his grand entrance on television today, and we do owe him a day because he's exposed so much fraud and crime in the financial markets, and he's to be applauded for that. But today he went after Mr. Grasso and his compensation package. Now, my question to Mr. Grasso, and I've tried to get an answer to this, but of course you don't. Why did he visit Columbia twice as chairman of the New York Stock Exchange and visit with narco-terrorists? Doesn't that seem odd to you?
Yes, absolutely.
And the reason why is the New York Stock Exchange is being used to launder money.
That's interesting. I've heard that.
Well, it's the truth.
And you believe that?
Absolutely.
Let's go to a wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good evening, George.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Good evening, Robert.
Good evening.
I certainly am enjoying the show, and thank you both for an excellent show and a most informative show. This is, I consider to be George's Hallmark shows, and it looks like he's on a run now, and I really enjoy it. I called in. My name is Jeff. I'm from Gold Beach, Oregon, and I called in to ask you a question with a short statement beforehand and ask you what you think of what I say, George. It would mean a lot to me.
All right.
I realize you to be a very well-researched person, and I respect your opinion. I respect your integrity. And from all of my research, George and Robert. I have come to the firm conclusion, rather even conclusions, which lead up to a final conclusion, which are indisputable. They don't have to be reached for. To the fact that, evidence of the U.S. government at the highest levels with the assistance of the intelligence community at the highest levels in the covert area, arranged, conceived, allowed to happen the events of 9/11/2001, and that it wasn't originated with Osama bin Laden. And that those are simply the facts. And I was wondering what, and I say that this is what Alex Jones is so well documented in his information, and Alex has been a guest on George's show, thankfully, and your knowledge would mean a lot to me, Robert. And just one other thing, I think the only way to defeat the Bush administration, and it's the boldest move that can be made, is to expose the fact that the origin of terrorism as we know it as of 2001, September 11th, started within this country by this high-level cadre that has taken over the reins of government in this country for the sake of the goals of the New World Order. It will tear this country apart if he is in office four more years. It's in their script and it's in their plan, and they've got plenty of time to do it with the rest of this year if they want to push the events. It's dangerous. The only way to beat them is to expose them. And I'll take my answer off the air if that's okay, and God bless you both. Thank you for being there.
Robert, very difficult without any proof to make those kinds of accusations, don't you agree?
No, I think that there is enough proof out there. I'm not an expert in the subject, but I've been trained to look for that sort of thing. And yes, the proof is out there without going into great detail. I do agree with what he said. And this is nothing unusual. It happens periodically in history. And the only way we're going to make the American people understand is through programs like yours and Alex Jones, which I've been on a number of times, and through the Internet. And otherwise, you can't get the story out because the general media will just not handle it.
Do you think it's possible that, that George Bush is a well-intentioned person that was pushed into office, was told basically, we can elect you, we can get you to win, and they just, you know, kept running things, taking over, putting in the players they wanted to put in, did a lot of things probably without his own knowledge. And now maybe he's in a position where he's beginning to say, my God, what's happened here? Do you think that's possible?
Well, nominally it could be, but I know the background of the Bush family, and I know that they've been involved in conspiracy for generations, all the way back to the Revolutionary War. And this is nothing new for this family. And so the answer is no. He knows what's going on. He knows everything that's going on, and he's part of it.
Now, the caller, of course, said that he was directly responsible for. I don't think that's the case. I think that there's a higher group pulling strings that pulled in an Al-Qaeda network, financed them, and turned them loose.
Well, whatever, he can't not be without knowledge because his actions have led me to believe, and many others who are far better informed on the subject than I, that he knew it was coming. When he was in school in, was it Tampa or St. Petersburg, when the event was taking place, he continued on with what he was doing. Like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. He hopped on the plane and they went out and saw Warren Buffett and they hid together and... all of the indications, if you examine the psychological aspects of it, you can see right through it.
Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hi. This is a scary world, isn't it? I would wonder if you could elaborate just a bit more about the gold, buying gold and silver. If you have to go through a dealer or if you recommend the so-called financial institutions?
I think that you're better off going to dealers who specialize in coins. Just like were you to buy gold and silver stocks, you would go to brokers, and there's very few of them, who specialize in that area. And again, for those of you who would like that information, you can go to the internationalforecaster.com or you can call 877-429-8178. And in my publication, it tells you that you can email me at international_forecaster@yahoo.com, and I'll give you all kinds of names of people who can help you that I have no financial affiliation with, people who I've known for years, and they'll be very helpful. And if they don't think you should do what you want to do, they'll tell you.
I see. Now, as far as just, I'm really just trying to talk about, or just trying to make some kind of small savings or make a little bit of money on the side. As far as, do you recommend like a fixed annuity or bank savings, anything like that?
Well, if the dollar is going to go down in value and gold is going to go up in value, you're better off holding gold coins.
Gold. All right. Thank you very much.
That's pretty simple. And I personally, at this stage of the bull market in gold and silver, I prefer the numismatic coins, and because they will outperform the bullion coins. Bullion coins have no numismatic value. So if gold were to go from $500 to $1,000, hypothetically, well, the coins would go from $500 to $1,000, which were bullion coins. But if you hark back to 1980, the MS-64 St. Gaudens went from approximately $500 to $5,000. So numismatics have brought some very good profits, just like gold exploration stocks have. But they're not for everybody. And you've got to discuss that with a broker who specializes in that, whether it's in coins or in shares.
Here's a question.
It isn't a snap decision.
Here's
and
a question.
Any questions you have, just email me. We answer everything.
You said that you voted for Bush when he ran. You obviously knew about his family in the beginning. So why'd you vote for him?
Because I thought the alternative was worse.
Pure and simple.
Yeah, and that's the same choice that we're given again with two members of a secret organization that won't talk about it. And again, what do? Well, you vote for some independent, whether it's in the Libertarian or Constitutional Party or wherever it is. That's the only way you can protest what's going on, because you can't overwhelm the machines that they have, which are called political parties, Democrat and Republican, because they've got unbelievable amounts of money to spend.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on with us. Hi there.
Hi there. Out of Houston, 7:40 a.m. Gentlemen, I've come to the conclusion that capitalism is a pyramid scheme. I mean, there's no real average gain. The people at the top get more, and the people at the bottom are still getting less. And the only thing that keeps it alive is that open immigration policy we've had since day one. They're the fresh blood at the bottom. And to prove the point, we've exported both capitalism and democracy to European and South American countries, and they failed to make it. And that's because they are not the immigration magnet that America has always been.
That's an excellent perspective. And that's what's going on in America today. We have 13 million illegal aliens in the country.
And probably more coming in every day.
Well, every I figure there's 10,000 a day coming over the border. They catch about 500 to 1,000 a day. And it's because conditions are what they are, particularly in Mexico and Central America, South America too, and other places, but mostly in those regions. They're just not enough capital invested in industry and other things to supply them with work. And these people who come over the border, they don't want to leave their homes. They love their countries. And most of them are ill-educated, but they're just trying to make a living.
Well, they're sending their money
back,
aren't
they? I don't condone it, but that's why they're doing it.
Well, the problem is that we need to control it. And
absolutely.
You know, I'm not opposed to legal immigration and quotas, but, you know, to let, you know, anybody into the country and you know, that's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
It's increasing our cost dramatically, particularly in healthcare, because emergency rooms have to take them in if they're ill, and that's along with the other, 35 or so million people who are uninsured, and the states aren't receiving enough money from the federal government to take care of that, so that's why real estate taxes are being increased and so on. It's a tremendous financial burden for the Americans, and also it drives wages down, because if you have a minimum wage of $5.15 and you have an illegal immigrant working for $4, the worker at the bottom of the totem pole doesn't get the job, and that increases unemployment, but at the same time it suppresses wages. In fact, wages are only up 0.6% in the last year, and it's going to get worse.
Stay with us. Robert Chapman, my guest. He's telling it the way he sees it. I'll be back in a moment.
Subscribe to the After Dark newsletter online at www.coasttocoastam.com. Just click through the orange type to the secure server. Gateway to the West. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies toll free, dial 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies toll free at 800-825-5033. First time callers may reach George at area code 818-501-4721. And the wildcard line is open at area code 818-501-4109. International callers may reach George Norrie by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5, then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
Do you ever wonder what money really is anyway? You know, for example, if you have direct deposit, you wake up one morning and there's a figure sitting there in your bank account, and they just send this money around, and it's never there. It's just all numbers. What does it all mean? Back in a moment. And welcome back to our final segment with Robert Chapman right here on Coast to Coast AM and your phone calls. Robert, what happened? When did we lose faith in just things? When did we lose that ability to sit back and just not question anymore? What happened to us? Was it the Kennedy assassination that started all this?
I think there's a good chance of that, and also the Vietnam War. The people on the right were against it, And many of the people on, people on the left were against it. Many people on the right were, but they were kind of afraid to say so. And I think during that period of time between 1960 and 1973, America really got turned upside down and lost their direction as a people.
I think you're right. And once that happened, all of us have had a little chunk taken out of us. We've had moments of glory, 1969, the landing of the moon on the moon and things like that. They've been exciting. But by and large, we've had to do this, with each other, or it's been pretty depressing, hasn't it?
Well, there's been a lot of good things happen individually, and I think that comes from people helping people and not really expecting anything in return. And I think there's a lot of people out there who are givers, and there's a lot of people who do need help of one form or another. And I think people should do more of that, and I think we'd have a better country.
Tell me a little bit about money and how it works. I mean, I'm almost in the belief now, Robert, that all it is just digital readouts that they send into somebody's bank account. I mean, without anything backing it, it makes no sense. If some friendly banker wanted to make you a zillionaire, they just put in a bunch of zeros and voila, there it was. I mean, what is it?
Well, first of all, you're right about the money being a digital entry because there's no backing on the money, and that happened in August of 1971 when previous to that, foreign nations had come in under our gold standard and demanded gold for dollars, and President Nixon put an end to that. But that was the beginning of our fiat currency as we know it today, at least in this period in our history. And you're right, there's nothing backing it, and that's why, it, particularly at this stage, all of the signs are there that we are going to have a purging of the system, and something radical is going to happen within the financial world. And gold and silver have moved up, and they're still in phase one of three or four phases of a bull market. And for those who have the foresight, I think they can save a lot of their assets. In the final analysis, when you have inflation and then deflation and depression, nobody leaves unscathed. Everybody gets hurt. You want to get hurt the least. So if you lose half your assets and everybody else more or less has lost 90%, at least you get something or more than they have to work with.
I don't know.
Gold and silver, and gold has been the ultimate money.
You know, and some are talking about an $800 an ounce gold price. Do you think that's possible?
I'm talking about $3,000.
$3,000 an ounce?
$3,000.
By what period?
I would say by 2007.
That's only in a couple of years.
Well, the profligacy that's gone on has gone on probably since the Second World War, but nearer term since the 1960s.
Well,
it's totally out of control, government spending, the Fed increasing the money supply and credit, the debt of our nation, corporations, and particularly individuals along with the government. It's colossal. It's beyond imagination. I mean, you just go out and make your mark on a piece of paper and they give you a house. In fact, they even give you the closing costs so that you can get the house. It's madness.
I want to ask you about that in a second because that's kind of funny. There's a funny story here. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Roland. I'm calling from Idaho, listening to you on KIDO 580.
You're out in Boise. Hi there, Roland.
Hi. I just want to make a comment about, I think a lot of people don't understand how the Federal Reserve works, and I think one of the people that you might have on as a guest some year or sometime is a man by the name of William Grider, and I'm sure that Robert is familiar with this man, who has written one of his books is called One World, Ready or Not. But he tells about monetizing debt and how it does, it ruins our system. But my questions are in regard one about Bush not knowing what's going on, Two questions, and then I'll get off and listen. Do you recall who the head of the director of the CIA was during the Nixon administration? And two, Buzzy Krongard is one of the deputy directors of the CIA currently, and even though Mike Rupert called him out as probably the person who put the put orders in on the airlines, he's not, put a libel suit on Mike Rupert. So just I wonder why. I just wonder if you could answer either one of those or both of those questions. Thanks for taking my call, George.
All right. Thanks, Roland. Appreciate it. CIA during the Nixon administration.
Was it George Bush?
I think it was Bush, was it not?
Yeah.
I think it was.
This Iraq thing harks back to the invasion of Panama. Somebody who was working with you wasn't working with you anymore, and you had to get rid of him. And so you had an invasion. And, you know, that fits into Iraq as well as it did in Panama, because Noriega was acting as a conduit for drugs, which the CIA was running into the United States.
What happened there? Right. Because, you know, he's now tucked away in Marion, Iowa, in a federal prison, and nobody can get to him. Nobody can get to him. He won't. We can't talk to him. He's gone. I don't even know if the guy's still alive. What did he do wrong?
Well, he was acting as a conduit, as a trans point for drugs that were going into the United States. And, of course, he was getting paid for that. And I think they were doing some refining of cocaine there and other things. They had laboratories there. And I don't know what he did to the Bushes, but it must have been pretty nasty. And so they decided to invade the country and haul him off. And it's kind of like what they did in Iraq. I think that Saddam Hussein has been dealing with the elitists in the Western world for a long time. And I think it's just a game they've been playing, and he's been involved in it. And they decided for whatever reason to sacrifice him to get in there, to get at the oil revenues, outflank Russia, and also take control or have the opportunity to take control of oil production in the area. I think we've kind of strayed from the questions.
Well, his other question was, is Michael Rupert has named a member
Buzzy
of the
Krongard.
Yeah, a member.
Yeah,
of the
I know
CIA.
Who he is, and he's another one like Otto Reich and Edwin Lansdale and Richard Armitage. These people are people who plan and set things in motion. And Al Martin just wrote a nice piece on Richard Armitage and how he ran Operation Phoenix, which was in Vietnam, which was the assassination of and the capture of leading members of the North Vietnamese army or politics. And at the same time, he was running Air America's drug operation out of Southeast Asia. And so the answer to the question is the CIA is part of what they do is a drug running operation. It has been for years.
That's how they make their black ops money, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
First time caller line, welcome to Coast on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Mike from Traverse City, Michigan.
Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
I had just one question. I'm disabled, and I have disability insurance on my mortgage, and I was just wondering if we went into a depression, if they would somehow get people, cut that on people.
You have a mortgage, and did you borrow against it?
No, I don't have a second on it. It's just the original mortgage, and when I went when I got disability, I had disability insurance, so it's being paid by that.
Well, that's fine.
Well, what's your question, though, Mike? What's your
concern?
Well,
I was just wondering if they, if you go into a depression and they cut the Social Security in half, is there a way that they're going to, say if the insurance company goes out of business, am I pretty much screwed?
Yeah, but I also think other things would happen. I think there would be a devaluation of the currency, and they being the government, might just arbitrarily say all debt that was $100 is now $50. There's all kinds of things they can do. Now, the best thing to is to be out of debt with the exception of your home, which is a tax write-off. And I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. Whatever happens, happens. There's not too much you can do about it, particularly in your situation where you're disabled and you're at the mercy of an insurer who has to pay you. And you just have to hope for the best.
You mentioned something about mortgages and how the fact that they just send a series of numbers and you get the house. And it is strange how all that happens. I mean, you don't even deal with money anymore. You sign a few papers and you own a house and it's done. And whoever sold the house looks in his bank account and there's this huge check. It's bizarre the way this happens, Robert.
Really, yeah, is. And in the issue of the International Forecaster that came out last night, I talk about a new plan by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac where you can miss a payment or two a year, and they're not going to dock you for it. And what they do is tack it on the end of the loan. So they're doing, these mortgage lenders are doing everything they can to make sure that people, at least at this time, don't lose their homes. And, of course, if we have higher interest rates, I don't know what Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to do then, but the situation will be worse.
East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello there. This is John in St. Louis.
Hi, John.
How are you doing? I just wanted to, you know, really say that I appreciate you, George, and what you're doing with all these different guests that you have come on. I know it can be depressing, you know, being in a position that you are and you have all these different guests come on and talking about all these depressing things, but it's good because we need to be notified. As far as money's concerned, I don't know if either one of you have ever heard of the book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. Have any one of you?
Yes.
I have not. You have, Robert.
Okay. I run a reference to it in my publication in every issue. And Ed Griffin has been a friend of mine since 1964, and the book is one of the finest things written on the problem that America has.
Yes, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And as far as gold and silver is concerned, there's another organization that has like the second largest currency in this country, and it's called the Liberty Dollar. And I think that if we can somehow get Americans to get on that, that would be a very strong, you know, positive thing, because it's kind of like an inflation-proof currency, and it's built, you know, on the facts that, you know, whenever inflation rises and the dollar drops, gold and silver goes up, and if you can buy into a currency that's spendable, rather than just you know, bullion like you were talking about before, or just buying gold on the market, that's something that's it's even, you know, more positive, I think.
Sound like an economist, John. Pretty good. I'm
well,
impressed.
Thank you very much, George.
I am impressed. That's pretty good. You know, there are a lot of Americans out there, Robert, that know what they're talking about.
They certainly do, and I'm on the radio frequently like you are, probably as often as you are, and sometimes I'm astounded with some of the things that people come up with because they're so sophisticated. And my hat's off to them, and I'm glad they're listening, and I hope they get their friends to do so and then get interested in the International Forecaster also.
Well, one of the important things, too, is, you know, whether we agree with what you say or not, or what other people call in and say or not, this country needs to continue dialogue without getting accused of anything. And you know, it's very important that different views be heard, whether people think they're preposterous or not. I think people need to be heard, and there's a danger if they're not, I think.
We got to talk to each other. We got to communicate, and if we don't, we're lost.
Let's see what time it is. We got time for another call. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. Robert, I got a quick question for you. It seems to me that these engineers of the One World Order would not use dates as deadlines, but would establish benchmarks. And could you kind of give us some benchmarks to look for?
Well, That's very difficult in as much as we're not in the inner circle, but I do know, as I mentioned earlier in the program, that Foreign Affairs, which is the House Organ of the Council on Foreign Relations, has said that they would like to have this all accomplished by 2010. But in retrospect, they also said the same thing about the year 1970, and they were completely unsuccessful. And so to put timetables on it, benchmarks, is pretty difficult. Things can happen that they don't expect, and just from out of the blue. And so it's very, very difficult.
Robert,
fact,
what's
my publication is one of the few that does give some timelines, particularly in the economic and the financial area. But to do it in psychopolitical warfare is extraordinarily difficult.
Would you give out the information on your free newsletter again, the one copy?
Yes. For those who are not on the Internet, it's toll-free, 877-479-8178. And that, again, is 877-479-8178. You can also go to theinternationalforecaster.com, or you can email me, particularly if you have individual questions. We answer everybody immediately, and that is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And incidentally, forecaster is F-O-R-E. It has an E in it, and a lot of people make that mistake, and it's pretty easy to make.
Robert Chapman, appreciate it. Good luck in Latin America.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on your show.
For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Barbara Simpson, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, everyone, be safe.